die nevermore. Oh, praise the Lord, I'll be in that number when we shall reach that heavenly of a stranger, for he would lead us into despair. Following on with Jesus our Savior, we shall
Messiah, our hopes are bright, our our lamps are burning, and more than this, our hearts are yearning. It is the morning he will come. Then we shall see our blessed Messiah. And that's the reason we shout hallelujah, praising the King of Kings across. Oh, the shining river where the saints shall gather. Yeah, we shall see our blessed Savior. There's a God on Eagle's Mountain, one whose eyes is clear and far, and bold in strength with his eyes of healing. And his domain as king is where eagles dare. And he feeds his young with his manner of revelation. It is light as bright as day, where bats cannot see. And when the storms of this wretched life, it's all over, young eagles on his wings are going home, shouting for victory. Oh, Jesus is the God on Eagle's Mountain. Glory, hallelujah to his name, his wonderful name. Yesterday, today, and forever, King Jesus, he's the same. His kingdom is not of this world. This wicked world must burn and pass away, but the new Jerusalem is transparent gold. As his redeemed, we are gonna stay. And he feeds his young with his manner of revelation. It is light as bright as day, where bats cannot see. And when the storms of this wretched life is all over, young eagles on his wings are going home, shouting for victory. Jesus is the God on Eagle's Mountain. Glory, hallelujah to his name, his wonderful name. Yesterday, today, and forever. El Shaddai is the same. White as wool is his hair royal, and his eyes are a flaming fire. And when he talks, it's paradoxical. His brazen feet complete with endless power, and he feeds his young with his manner of revelation. It is light as bright as day, where bats cannot see. And when the storms of this wretched life is all over, young eagles on his wings, we are going home, shouting for victory. Jesus is the God on Eagle's Mountain. Glory, Hallelujah to his name, his wonderful name. Yesterday, today, and forever. The firstborn from the dead, Jesus the same. Amen.
Praise God. Dead shall rise, and the Lord will be waiting in the sky, and we who remain shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen. Amen. Be pulling on the word, saints. Brother Vindale from Trinidad, amen, is here for those that are visiting, and we just pray that God will bless your hearts tonight as he breaks the word. Amen.
Brother Van, God bless you.
Amen. Could we all stand to our feet tonight? I'd like to read from Genesis chapter 22 and Hebrews 11. Bow our heads and close our eyes, a word of prayer before we read. Our precious Lord Jesus, Father, as we stand in your divine presence tonight, we know it has been by the amazing grace of God that have been shed abroad in our hearts, that open our understanding to see and to recognize, Lord, that there's a fountain flowing. Lord, we are like that thief. The songwriter says, blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. The dying thief rejoices to see that fountain in his day. Lord, how we rejoice to see the fountain in this our day that is still flowing, Father, with the precious bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ that has loosed us from our sins. And Lord God brought us into his divine presence, that we could stand without condemnation, having this confidence, Lord, that you have accepted him as a propitiation for our sins.
Hallelujah.
And whatever we ask in his name tonight, we shall receive it. And Lord God, when we think that today, April the 14th, in the Bible, this is the time that you told Moses to tell the people to slay the lamb, take the blood and apply the post on the door. For he is going to pass through Egypt and smite all the firstborn. There was only one place, Father, many houses, but only one place where it is under the blood. And Father, we see ourselves standing in that same position tonight, in this third Exodus. Oh God, we come in desperation tonight, Father. Our loins girded up, our staff in our hands, our feet shod. And Lord, we come eating our bread in haste. Father, by faith, we can hear the screams. Lord God, as spiritual death strikes, and many places are drying up, many places are dying, Father. But, oh God, we thank you that death cannot strike here. It is forbidden to strike here, Father. For we know that we have obeyed what the prophet has said. The blood has been applied. The spirit abides. Let the death angel pass. Father, I pray tonight as we are gathered under your shed blood, Lord, the voice of the blood would speak to us, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit would speak words of life into our hearts. And Lord, you would illuminate our understanding and give us great faith in your promise. We expect, Lord, that you would do the exceedingly abundantly amongst us. Above all, we could ask or even think. You know our needs, Father. Whatever nature they might be, you know each and every one of them. You are omniscient, and we ask that you would meet everyone according to your riches and glory. Most of all, bless the word, Father. We look forward to you speak out of it. And Lord God, we'll be placed positionally in that channel of inspiration where you can bring to pass your promise in our lives. This is what we are in the expectation of, Lord. This is what we come into service looking for. Lord God, be it unto us according to thy word. Have your way amongst us now. We commit ourselves into your hands, thanking you for what you will do in advance. For we ask it and believe in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading from verse 1, Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I like that. A quick response. God asked him to do a hard thing, but he didn't deliberate. He didn't murmur. He didn't complain. From the time God spoke, Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning. Amen. Many a person might have wished that they could never wake up that morning, but he was up early.
Amen.
Amen. Quick to obey what God required of him.
Amen.
And saddled the ass and took two of his young men with him. And two is a number of confirmation or witness. Because Bible says everything be established among the two or three witnesses with him. And Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering. Amen. No deliberation. Cleaved the wood right there. And rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And I want you to keep in mind the place. God told him, go into the land of Moriah, offer him there. I'll show you which one of the mountains, the seventh one. Amen. Offer him there. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. And that's one. And laid the wood in order, two. And bound Isaac his son, three. And laid him upon the altar upon the wood, four. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Amen. All those things was taking place in that place. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Now you might say he had two sons. But you see, Abraham gave birth to Ishmael. But Abraham gave birth to Isaac. So Abraham only had one son. Amen. But Abraham had Ishmael, but Abraham, that's when his name was changed. Amen. And he brought for the promise. Amen.
Amen.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Not a ewe, a female, but a ram, a male sheep. Amen. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Hebrews 11. Verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now watch what Paul is writing this here. Paul drops in Genesis 21, verse 12, which says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He drops in that scripture right in here, showing you that why Abraham could have offered up Isaac, because he knew in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That part of the promise wasn't fulfilled as yet. So he knew that if the seed had to be called in Isaac, and Isaac had no seed yet, then God had to raise him back up. Otherwise, God would break his own promise. Amen. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes one more time. Our Heavenly Father, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would breathe upon this word now. Father, breathe upon this congregation. Lift us up in heavenly places. Shut us in that secret place. And may the Spirit of the living God speak so direct to us, Father. Give us understanding in that word. Take full control in this service now, Father. Get honor and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may have a seat. I would like to take for a title tonight, the place that we shall call Jehovah Jireh. The place that we shall call Jehovah Jireh. And for a subject, I want to take tested to the final point before the promise of the third pole. Where did the ram come from? With the spoken word. Where did it happen? On the mountain. This, in Genesis 22, is the last record of Abraham's experience with God. In Genesis 23, Sarah is dead, and he buries Sarah. In Genesis 24, Abraham sends out Eliezer to get a bride for Isaac. And the emphasis, the scene changes to Isaac and Rebekah. And Abraham is fading out. Because Genesis is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Exodus and Moses. Amen. So the last great experience that Abraham had was on the mountaintop. It was the place that God confirmed his faith. It was an hour that he had dread to come to. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Amen. It was the final testing before the promise. And I'm taking this inspiration out of a message called Possessing the Enemy Gates, where the prophet of God was preaching, teaching us that God always tests us. But before he fulfills his promise, there's a final testing before the promise gate. And we are on the verge of the promise. The hour for the promise is here. Israel is in the homeland. The church is in Laodicea. The world is in Sodom. The bride is in the place where he placed his name. Everything is set in positionally. Time is about to run out. The generation that see Israel become a nation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. When the conflict begins to tighten up and the press comes down in the church, what you've seen manifested temporarily before you, watch it in the fullness of its power.
This is the thing I believe will start the rupturing faith to the going away of the church. So says the prophet. Amen. And these are things that we look around and see with our eyes. We see everything placed positionally in the vision of the word where it was supposed to be. Amen. Here's the dead boy. Here's the mountain. Here's the soldiers. Here's the prophet. And he's going to walk away from the scene. And he's going to walk away, the Holy Spirit touches him. He said, Jack, did you touch me? No. Was the Holy Spirit quickening to him that he is in the vision. The vision that he had received from God. The vision that he was on the expectation for the fulfillment. The vision that he preached, saying one day it's going to happen. Now he's actually in the vision. And we receiving a word vision. Amen. Of the hour, of the time, of the signs to identify the time. Amen. Even like the vision of the caribou and the checkered shirt and the grizzly bear. Amen. From the time the prophet saw the checkered shirt, he knew he was in the vision. He knew what he saw himself doing will come to pass. Amen. He saw the checkered shirt, he saw the caribou, but he had to still go and come into the distance where he could shoot it. He started to run around beside the mountain. But his eyes had seen the promise. The promise had begin to come visible to him. He had seen his positive sign. He knew the hour is here. Today it shall be fulfilled. Amen. So here it is with us. We have seen our positive sign. We have seen the astronaut. Amen. God shines his spiritual achievement in his church. We see when man comes to a place, they have faith in what they've proven to be the truth. That they don't have no feeling of insecurity no more. They can take off the safety line. That was security. Amen. Because they are insecure, so they have to have something to make sure. A little prop, a little clutch like. Amen. But they come to a place, they have reached to a place where they can step out without anything. Amen. Showing where God have reached with his church in the spiritual realm. Amen. So then if God have reached that place, amen, then there have to be a people who have faith in the anointing, who know unto this end were we born. For this cause came we into the world to bear witness of this truth. It becometh us that we should fulfill all righteousness. We must be about our Father's business. Amen. I have meat that you don't know of. My meat is to do his will and to finish his work. And 1946, his work for this age started. When he met a prophet in the cave and said, go out around the world. Amen. His work started for this day. His work is to be finished when he takes his bride up. Hallelujah. When he brings up his sleeping saints. And here the prophet have left. But that work have not yet been completed. But that is our meat. Because we are caught up in the same spirit. And the Holy Spirit have found vessels, chosen vessels, to bear his name, to show his light in the evening time. Amen. Like when God met Paul, he told Ananias, he's a chosen vessel to bear my name. Hallelujah. Many vessels bearing are blasphemous names, but these vessels shall bear my name. Bearing his life, bearing his signs, bearing his wonders, bearing his preeminences. Amen. Showing that he is divine and they are the branches. Amen. They're bringing forth a true testimony of the life. Many others living off of the life and giving a false witness to the life that they're living off of. Amen. Like the time when the prophet saw the orange tree. Had a grapefruit grafted into it. Living off of the orange life, but bearing grapefruit. Had a lime branch in it. Living off of the orange life, but bearing a lime. A false witness to the life that it was living off of. And so the message have been the same way. Many have grafted into the message. Living off of the life of the message. Using the name of the message. but bringing forth a different witness to what the prophet brought. But if there's any more branches, it will bring forth what the first one for this age brought forth. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is what we are looking for in our own lives, because God has already showed us the kind of man that he's making in this age. Amen. When he waved it before us, a man that can strike and say, speak, let there be a squirrel. Sister Hattie, right, I give you a voice in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the kind of man God is making in this age. Hallelujah. That was the model that God put on display. Hallelujah. To let you know that the rest that is coming forth will be a super church, will be a super race. Amen. If that one man turned the world upside down, what about when God have a people from every kindred, nation, tongue, and tribe? Hallelujah. Amen. And God is showing us now where we are. Amen. And here we are on the verge of the promise. Why are we certain? What gives us confidence? Is it just an irresponsible statement? Is it just an idle boast? Why? What are we basing the fact that we are on the verge of the promise? Amen. Could we just haphazardly take a sign in the sky? No. Look at the bride. Amen. On the face of the earth. Comes at the end of the New Testament. And take the New Testament. And show that she is the feminine spirit. That was unexpressed. Sure, she matches every shadow, parable, prophecy type. Like Jesus came at the end of the Old Testament. And proved he was Messiah. Not just claim he was Messiah, he took his scriptures and sure he lived out the mystery. Sure, it was all gathered up inside of him. Amen. He was Joseph. He was Abel. He was Isaac. Amen. Hallelujah. So she is showing that she's the real bride. She's not trying to calculate things and trying to make educated guesses and well worked explanations. She's proven by the word. She's here. She's been unveiled. We know that there was a promise of a bride. It was spoken in the word. It was typed out in the word. So we know that there was a promise and we believed it. But then the faith to come and say she's here. The faith for her to present her credentials. Amen. The faith for her to take up the scriptures and compare it with her life and show she is the living epistle of the written epistle. Amen. Hallelujah. Then that unveils her, because that unveils Jesus. But rather many a man saw Jesus walking in the street. See? But they never saw him in the fulfillment of the word. They look with their eyes and they said, there goes Jesus. That's the one they say, the Messiah, the short one. Amen. See, but here it was. He was now taking the scriptures and showing them he was the fulfillment of the prophesied promise. Amen. And the bride comes and shows that she is the fulfillment of the promise that we all believe. Take for instance like Mary. In the scriptures, it was prophesied there would be a virgin that would conceive and bring forth the Christ. It is prophecy in the Bible. A prophet spoke it. God vindicated that prophet. It became the written word. The people believed it and looked for the promise to come to pass. They knew it could not fail. They didn't understand how it will happen, but they believed it anyhow. The teachers taught it, and the people became under expectation, looking for the fulfillment of it. But God is his own interpreter. So in the time for the interpretation, God comes down to the elected one, to the predestinated one. And light begins to shine upon the word. And say, Hail Mary, the Lord is with thee. Say, me, the Lord with me? He said, yes, blessed are thou among women. If God would come to this church and say, blessed are thou among women in Canada. So many churches. Many churches have seed. Many churches bringing forth something. Amen. Hallelujah. And you say, well, you saying that, But didn't Simeon and Anna walk into the temple, see the Messiah in infancy, and could recognize the Messiah in infancy? Hallelujah! He didn't raise the dead, he didn't open the blind eyes, but yet inspiration struck them to recognize Messiah in infancy. And while other people call it all kind of evil names, fornication, adultery, amen, dead, they call it all kind of different names. Simeon said, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen thy salvation. Anna said, it shall be a sign, evil spoken of, and a sword shall go to the mother's heart. Amen. She will be pierced to see what that baby will have to go through. Amen. And think about it. Amen. That many people had to wait until it was fully manifested to say, really, that is the Messiah. But some was given the grace to see it in its infancy. And the Bible said, and the child grew strong and walked in the Spirit until the day of his showing. Amen. And the revelation is picking up momentum. It's becoming stronger. It's waxing strong in the Spirit. As God anoints his word more and more. Until the devil is showing. Amen. Where it will be on public display. Amen. For a witness before the bride go to the sky. Amen. And when we think about it, look at Elijah on the mountain. He was looking for a sign. The hour was there. He knew that the rain was going to come. God spoke him by inspiration. Now is the season. The rain is going to come. He told his servant, go up and look. And come back and tell me what you see. The servant went up, he looked around. He said, I didn't see nothing. Somebody preaching. People sitting there, I didn't see nothing. He said, go back up 7 times. He came back. He said, still, all I see is a cloud the size of a man's hand. From the time he mentioned Elijah jumped to his feet, threw his hands in the air. Amen. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. The prophet said the first teeny move. You think with a cloud this size to water a whole nation that was in drought for 3.5 years. The skies was brassy. But the first teeny move, he saw. Amen. He knew that the prophecy coming to pass. It was the word of God on the move. He was looking, he was watching. Look at Simeon. Simeon is on expectation to see the Messiah. Oh my. Hallelujah. A just and devout man, led of the Holy Ghost. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. And we are looking for the consolation of the bride. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Holy Spirit led Simeon into the temple that day. Oh, hallelujah. And here come the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Hallelujah. In simplicity, in humility. But he was anointed by the Holy Spirit to recognize that is Messiah in infancy. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we think about those things, we see then we have come down to a time. Amen. We come to an hour where something is fixing to happen. Amen. People, all kind of different witnesses of what the promise ought to be. But there should be a real promise. And when we see the bride being unveiled, like Mary, take the scriptures, amen, and begin to see that she is the fulfillment. Amen. She begin to stop looking out there for it to happen. Because from the time the angel came and the angel spoke the prophecy from the scriptures, and she knew that was her name written in the book, she stopped looking out there. She began to watch her own self because it was coming to pass in her life. She forgets, well, I am an ordinary little Mary. I mean, she didn't get lifted up, but she knew then that in God's sight, I am the one to bring forth the promise. And the Pentecostals have rejected the message. The Jews don't know nothing about it. Amen. The one man scripture, Malachi 4, is already gone. Who is going to bring forth the promise? Have to be somebody among the bride. There must be a people who can catch that faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Must be a people who can catch that faith. Amen.
And here we see, amen, God unveiling his bride by the word. And so there is a bride. She knows the word the way she was supposed to know it to make it work. The prophet said Satan knew the Bible as good as Jesus. But it couldn't work for him. Because the word cannot work in an unconverted channel. But Jesus had faith in the knowledge that he was the word made manifest. And that is the way he knew the word. And that is why it could work for him. Amen. And the church's book, page 156 there, he says, now this message is to be received by a certain qualified group in a certain way. Amen. Future home, page 37, he says, here was a priest. They had known God by what happened. They learned that God was God. They learned that God turned the pillar of fire. They learned that the logos of the prophet head was Jehovah who spoke to Moses. Amen. They learned the serpent seed. They learned the Godhead. They learned the water baptism. And they learned that God was God. Amen. They learned that God sent a prophet. But here was a woman at the well. Amen. She was defiled in her body but pure in her heart. He says here was a priest. They was pure in the body but defiled in the heart. Amen. And that woman, the light struck her. And she says, I know when Messiah comes. He said, I that speak to you am he. And she knew God by what was happening. Not what happened, by what was happening. Amen. Here we are breaking into a realm to know God by what is happening now. Amen. Hallelujah. To recognize him present tense. Being identified by his characteristics. Being revealed by his word. Amen. And notice, when the bride comes to that place, and she comes to that realization, and she stands there, what a faith it would be in her heart. Amen. Because why? She sees that soul in her is part of that word. Amen. She knows that she possesses eternal life now. She knows that she has the earnest of the very change of body. She knows that this body will materialize around the word image that she is being transformed into now. Amen. As you feed upon the word image is being formed inside of the air. Amen. And like a woman when she is great with child, amen, in pain to be delivered, travailing in birth, what happens? A spirit, amen, an angelic being come and hovers around that mother. Amen. A nice, sweet atmosphere. Amen. What about when the bride, Christ is forming the bride? Amen. The Logos, the Holy Spirit, amen, comes and hang over the bride, overshadowing her, the never-failing presence of Jesus Christ, the talk and the atmosphere of love and power around the believer. Oh, I know that you spiritual astronauts know what I'm talking about, because this is the hour is closer than we have ever felt him before. He is walking with us in this hour. Amen. Pushing us into the place, keeping us in the channel, keeping our feet in step, because he's fixing to display himself through you and me. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice, when that time comes, last great experience of Abraham on the mountaintop, amen, was when he met Jehovah Jireh, and Jehovah Jireh was his spoken word, the third pole. The same one that created his career created the rams. Amen. He says the only way I could say that came from, it has to be the same one who created the ram for Abraham. Sister Hattie Wright says that is nothing but the truth. Down came the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice Abraham here in the scripture, God was telling about a place. And we knew that there was to be a testing before the promise. Amen. And we know that we're in the hour of the fulfillment of the promise, because the time is about to run out. It must happen now. Amen. Otherwise, we'll go over into the Jewish age. And one age cannot go over into the other age. Amen. Hallelujah. So then we find that the bride is beginning to recognize her position now. She's beginning to shake off the unbelief. All the vipers want to get a hold of her. She could shake them into the fire. Amen. She could burst the cords. She's not ignorant of the device of the enemy. Amen. She's about 19 years. Amen. Spying with the enemy.
She knows every blow. She knows how he fights, where he hangs forward, where he hangs backwards, how he throws his punches. Amen. Hallelujah. The great Holy Spirit was training the bride for the knockout punch. Not to play around with the enemy, because the great contest is here. It's a test of strength. Amen. Amen. The great strength of God in this church. Amen. Over the great strength of the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. And the great contest is on. I only come to this mountain. The bride will have to come forth victorious. Amen. God has brought us to a place where the testing is going on. Amen. The final testing before the promise. Amen. And I want you to notice something. We have to catch the revelation that we are being tested for reaction before the fulfillment of the promise and not being punished. I want you to get that. We're going to make it very plain tonight. Catching the revelation that you are being tested for reaction before the fulfillment of the promise and not being punished. Abraham knew that he was not being punished when God asked that. Abraham knew that God didn't abandon his original program he had revealed to him. Hallelujah! The very time and season the testing came, the very channel through which God designed the test, Abraham was following something. He was walking by inspiration. He was believing God's word. He was watching the mystery unfold all the years. That when God tested him, he caught it quickly. I'm being tested for reaction. The hour has come. Man have to see my works. Amen. I come out and follow him. For 25 years, I staggered not to unbelief. Amen. Hallelujah. So God has to know I believe. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But man will see with the eye. Man will see with the eye the extent. Amen. That a mortal man would be willing to serve God. That when God asked the things that is dearest to him, and God didn't make a request, God made a demand, and God specified what he wanted. Hallelujah! He didn't say, Abraham, go and offer a sacrifice on the mountain. God didn't say that. God said, take your son, Isaac, the one you love. Because God knows he feels towards him. Amen. Offer that as a sacrifice. Amen. You offer 7 rams one time. It's a sweet smelling savor. You build an altar when I call you out and I show you the land. Amen. And you give thanks unto me. I enjoy that too. Amen. You show your obedience when I told you separate from Lot. When I told you separate from Ishmael. When I told you separate from your family. You showed your obedience. Amen. Amen. But here was your final testing before the promise. So he was able to prove he was worthy for the promise. And here we come down to the promise of the third pull. And God is going to test us to the final point. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice God said, look how the scripture reads. It says, take thy son into the land of Moriah and offer him there. In the place which I will show you. And then God, Bible says, while he's walking, he lifted his eyes. Revelation struck him. The place was revealed. I'm in that place now. I wonder if revelation striking you to know you in the place. Hallelujah! Of your final testimony for the promise. Amen. I wonder if your faith is letting you know you're on the verge of the promise. Last night I was speaking about the 7 mountain ranges. If you have time, I may touch back something there just to show you what I mean. That 7th peak was the 3rd pole. It's on that 7th mountain Jehovah Jireh created the rams. It's on that 7th mountain Jehovah Jireh created the squirrels. Jehovah Jireh didn't come on the 3rd peak. He didn't come on the 5th peak. But on the 7th peak in the 3rd pole, he said, let there be a squirrel. And Jehovah Jireh created on that 7th mountain. Amen. And that was the last mountain. Amen. And the bride is on that mountain tonight. She's been brought up into the peak, into the summit, before the desert part, eternity set in, before the door swings shut. Amen. Before time runs out. Redemption is over. Before that time,
The third pole will do great things for us in our midst. Like Sister Hattie Wright, in our midst. Like Sister Branham, in our midst. Sister Hattie Wright said the right thing and got the salvation of two boys. Sister Branham said the wrong thing and got a tumor. Amen. Is what you say, is the way you say things. Amen. No wonder Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the seraphim had to come in a coal and purge him and sanctify him. No wonder God had to give us an anointing. Amen. To bring the most unruly member, the tongue, full of poison under control. Amen. So we could say good things. We could say the right thing. Amen. We could speak with faith, positive. Create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to drop into. Amen. Look in the Bible. Abraham had such faith because he understood the channel. He understood the season. He understood he was being tested. He knew he was not being punished. Amen. That when he's going up the mountain, he told the men positive, not kind of quivering and trembling. He said, wait here. The lad and I, we'll go and worship and we'll come back. And he knew he was going to kill the boy. He wasn't trying to create a good impression and make a good show to the men. Because to prove it, to show he had believed the things he said, to show his faith had found a source that kept his faith anointed. That even when the trial became more severe and is up the mountain, God struck the boy with revelation. 3 days they traveled, and God withheld Isaac's mind from noticing there was no land. Amen. But when they almost went up the mountain, revelation struck the boy. He said, but daddy, we have no land. Now 3 days before they was traveling, knowing they was going to worship and offer a sacrifice, had the wood and the fire and the knife. And Isaac never asked no question. Even while he was there with the men, he never asked no question. But God was trying Abraham's faith. Abraham was being tested by God before God confirmed his faith. Before God said, now I know thou fearest me. Before God put his seal of approval upon him and swear himself. Amen. While he's almost up the mountain, God inspired Isaac to ask about the lamb and to show Abraham wasn't creating no impression, trying to put on a good show. He said, daddy, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Now, God will provide means Jehovah Jireh. He, now, in other words, what he say? I am in this place. Right. God brought me here. Yeah. I am being tested. But Jehovah Jireh will show up here. Yeah. Amen. This is the place I will meet Jehovah Jireh. Because he said God will provide. After God provided, he named the place what he said God will do. Amen. Amen. But he spoke his revelation first. And that is what faith does. David told Goliath, they'll cut your head off and feed the horse of the Philistines to the fowls of the air. He didn't even have a sword in his hand. Jesus said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up. The prophesied and went and do it. Abraham said, the lad and I will go and worship and come back again unto you. Amen. The bride is no way we will sneak in. There's no way we'll go along hoping that we don't get the hard kind of test. Just pray that somebody else get them. So we will end up with a ball in our hands before the rapture comes. It don't have that. If a person is thinking that way, they're already deceived. It don't have that. Because God would prove whether you are worthy of the promise or not. you will be tested, and you will come down to your final testing, to the final point. God is going to bring you down when the grass is 4 inches high. And you're looking for a 9-foot grizzly bear to come out of 4-inch high grass. Where is it going to come from? You better have a revelation of Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. When the squeeze come and the barrel of meal go down. Amen. The crews of oil begin to fail. And the children begin to cry with hunger. Amen. And then the devil begin to show you, well, you know, you can take a chance. You're already saved because you're already predestinated already. And you already had the Holy Ghost, so you really can't take the mark of the beast and reasons at a play and say, go and buy something. Go and sell the birthright or something. Go and ask somebody for something. You better know Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. We know that there is to be a testing before the promise. Because God has shown that the time of promise is here. Amen. We are being tested for reactions. We are not being punished. Specifically designed trials and experiences ordained for this hour. The love of God, the tender hand of Jehovah, leading you into the fiery furnace. Putting you on your ash heap. Amen. Glory to God. You better know the God that Job knows when you're on your ash heap. Hallelujah. You can rise up and prophesy. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. When that hour comes, God is going to show this world there's a people who have become the word. The church is his victory. She's the reason of his death. When Jesus comes, he's not going to say, that's a nice brother. He has a nice sister. Let me just take them. When he comes, he's looking for himself. Where is faith of my feet? Where is virtue of my virtue? He'll go nice to comb your hair. No. He'll go, where is knowledge of my knowledge? Where is patience of my patience? Where is temperance of my temperance? Where is Zoe? Amen. Hallelujah. Where is that attribute of God? Where is the token? Where is my literal life? Amen. That is what he's looking for. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe it. Amen. We'll be there. Amen. We'll all be there. But just I want you to see Abraham, as we focus on him a little bit tonight, as we dig down into his life and find out what was his source his faith had found. What was his faith feeding upon that in a severe trial like that, that he could behave that way? Even when it gets more severe, he could be talking with the same freshness, with the same positiveness, with the same assurance. Amen. He wasn't making idle boasts. He wasn't making irresponsible statements. He was expressing his revelation. He wasn't quivering. Oh, I wonder what God, oh, why God have to take me through this thing. I'm going through so much. He wasn't talking like that way. The Lord and I will go and worship and come back. He said, my son, God will provide for himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Now watch. A place. Now, I want you to notice the passages through which Abraham had to pass. He had already met Melchizedek. Amen. King Theophany. Hallelujah. But to meet Melchizedek, he had to go out for Lot. Amen. He had Lot separated, but news came Lot was in trouble. And Abraham said, serve him right. Amen. The sheep start to wrangle and fight. See, all the herdsmen start to quarrel. The sheep was eating good, but the herdsmen start to wrangle. So then when that happened now, Lot going against Sodom, sitting by the gate, see, become a great, have great status. Amen. Mistress Lot, the head woman there on the scene, and things was going kind of nice for them. Couldn't preach against certain things that got dung in his soul. He couldn't really have the backbone to come on and say it. So he was kind of compromising. His righteous soul was vexed, but he couldn't speak against it. Finally, those armies of devils, 200 million spiritual devils, moving from place to place. Amen. They had already taken the Roman Catholics, had the Lutherans, take the Methodists, take the Pentecostals, and then the lukewarm in the message. They had come and get them to amen. Hallelujah. Look at the chains. Bang! A prisoner taken captive. And one of the men escaped. Oh, my, come back bleeding. Amen. Hallelujah. Fall down and be the crowd. And when Abraham heard it, he took his trained servants, his best men, his best horses. Hallelujah. And he went after them in the midnight hour. Glory to God. From Dan to Beersheba. Amen. And he began to ride the midnight hour. Amen. And the Bible in Hebrews 7 said, and Abraham returned from the slaughter of the kings. Amen. It was a slaughter. Hallelujah. Abraham, under the divine leadership of the five-star general, the unseen captain that Joshua had. Amen. He gave him divine strategy. The Bible said Abraham divided his camp in two. Amen. Hallelujah. One went against the armies, and the other went and snatched Lot. Amen. And Abraham returned back from the slaughter of the kings. Amen. Prompt action. Quick decisions. Amen. They just actually take over the whole scene. Amen. And then when he came back, he was marching the victor's march. Hallelujah. He came back to meet Melchizedek. Amen. Now, if we have to meet Melchizedek, you ain't going to meet him no other way. Because Abraham's life was a mystery of prophecy for the bride. Abraham's life is not a story about a man back there. It was God making a shadow. Amen. Showing the real bride, the royal seed that is to come in the last days. But I want you to notice God revealing himself to Abraham. First, amen, he called him out there. Then he began to reveal himself to him as Melchizedek. But look, before he could get the revelation of Melchizedek, before he could call God Melchizedek, amen, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, amen, possessor of heaven and earth, before he could approach him that way, look at the channel, the passage he had to come through to get that experience. To receive bread and wine, part of himself, after he had won the battle. After he showed he was willing to lay down his life, amen, for his own. To go to any distance, amen, in the hour of deliverance, to bring back a lost soul. Hallelujah. Look, Genesis 17. Then God come and revealed himself to us, El Shaddai. Amen. I'm the breasted one, not El Shad, one breast, because the mystery was the husband and wife was the Old Testament and the New Testament. Had a feminist part of the mystery, you see? So he revealed himself as El Shaddai, double-breasted, amen. Hallelujah. But Abraham said that the Old Testament and the New Testament, amen, nurse for me. And while he's going through little trials, fretting, the only thing to calm the fretting baby is to put him on the mother's breast. And he began to nurse supernatural strength from El Shaddai. What was his strength? He changed his name and from Abram to Abraham. And from a time he moved from the book of life over into the Lamb section and recognized what part of the world he was, he began to get a new strength. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. He began to nurse that strength. Yeah. Oh, supernatural strength. He wasn't going on his own strength now. What is strength from the strength giver? Amen. Then God revealed himself to him as Elohim. Notice what he had to do to meet Elohim. 25 years he didn't stagger through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto God. Amen. Buying the booties, expressing his faith, acting upon his inspiration. Preparing and making ready for the promise. Because he heard it, he recognized it to be the truth, and he was acting upon it. And God came to him as Elohim. But the last experience he had was when he met Jehovah Jireh on the mountaintop. The third pole, the spoken word, the confirmation of his faith. Amen. Hallelujah. But look, Before he met Jehovah Jireh, look at the passage, look at the channel he had to go through. The thing you love the most. The thing dearest to you. Oh, how God blessed us in one season with something. And we enjoy it. And we get attached to it. And we forget that God gave it to us. Amen. And God led it us. And God let us have it and use it. Amen. And we prospered off it. And then God come back in another season and said, no, I'm taking that back. And then people begin to feel insecure. But where did they get it before they didn't have it? God gave it to them. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. I just feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to many hearts tonight. We are ready for the promise. Amen. Hallelujah. How will we know we are ready? If we can come to Mount Moriah. If we can keep speaking in the revelation of our faith, even though the tests become more severe. If we can keep on in our inspiration that God is only testing us, he's not punishing us, then we'll meet Jehovah Jireh. If we try to play smart, amen, and disobey God to preserve the boy's life, amen. Let us have the kind of faith, let us slay him and believe God to raise him back up. Amen. Abraham could have think the other way. But I want you to notice God was making a demand. God didn't make a request. And God specified, because God, just like Jesus told the rich young ruler, sell all you have. He didn't want him to do it. But he wanted him to see his own self. And here with Abraham, God didn't want Isaac, but God wanted Abraham loyalty. Amen. And Abraham was showing that he was loyal to God, regardless of the circumstances. Amen. He held back nothing from God, even the things that were dearest to him. Amen. Hallelujah. He was willing to separate from it. And then the third pull took place. Then Jehovah Jireh, the spoken word, came on the scene. Oh my. Amen. Let me drop this right inside of here now. Just feel it's time to drop this in here. Possessing the enemy gates, page 2. He says God had been testing the patriarch because he had given him a promise. That's that clock there. I got first stone with sling on. Burst that clock tomorrow. Amen. See, God had been testing the patriarch because he gave him a promise. And when God make a promise, he wanted to be sure that this person is worthy of the promise. Before he fulfills what he said or what he promises. He said, if you be more sincere, you'll know the secrets of the heart. Then he came down a little further. He says, no. Show him a vision. You can bind the mamba. He said, no, you'll have power to bind that mamba or the worse or anything like him. But you must be more sincere. He said, Lord, help my unsincerity. Amen. Amen. He didn't say, but what you mean, Lord? I find it going good. I'm nothing wrong in my life. You see, sometimes the word to see things in you that you don't even see in your own self. Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. He said, yes, you will. He said, me, Lord, not me. I'll never do it. But the word was seeing something in Peter. Peter was not seen in his own self. One time, they couldn't cast out the demon from the epileptic boy. And he said, Lord, why we can't do it? And the word tell him, he said, because of your unbelief. Now, they didn't know the unbelief was hindering them. Because they didn't see that they had unbelief. But he was making the unconscious unbelief conscious to them. Amen. Oh my. I tell you, God is going to make sure we come to word. He wants to be sure that this promise, this person is worthy of the promise before he fulfills what he said or what he promises. And God, time after time, tested Abraham, but he had come to that final test before the blessing was going to happen. And that's the way it is with all the seed of Abraham. And they that are in Christ become Abraham's seed. And the way it was with Abraham are the way with all the Holy Ghost filled believers in Christ. Then we have been given a promise of this hour. And before that promise comes, we will be tested to the final point to see if we are worthy of the promise. Amen. And if it is possible, I'd like to say something here personally. He was going to give his testimony about the schools being created in the morning. That final test to see how you will react upon it. Testing you for your reaction. Not punishing you. Oh, hallelujah. It's a person who is insecure. It's a person who don't really have a revelation that they're justified. That they pass from death unto life. And the old husband is already dead. So in the seal of forgetfulness, there's no remembrance no more. That new nature in you, eternal life, God don't impute sin to that. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is what your new birth means. That is what being under the blood means. That is what crossing back the chasm means. Amen. When you recognize you are part of the word, it's not your flesh, it's not your spirit, it's that soul in you. It's part of that word. Hallelujah. Then, what does that make you? Amen. It make you part of Christ, and God don't impute sin to that. Then, how could you think that God is punishing you? Amen. Hallelujah. He might commit you to suffering, like he did Job. He might commit you to death, like he did Paul. Dark skies are no sign of God's disapproval. Night is bright, clear, sunny skies, any sign of God's approval. How do I show my love to God? By conducting myself with joy amidst the trials he in his wisdom allows to come to pass in my life. Amen. Because character is a victory, it's not a gift. And before power can come, there must be character that the power can come to. Because power without character is satanic. And character is never made without suffering. And we must have gold tried in the fire 7 times. Amen. So if it is possible, I'd like to say something here. He says, he found Abraham just as true as he was when he started. Amen. And when he did this, and never withheld his only son, he was about to plunge the knife into Isaac's bosom to destroy his testimony. He had testified all over the known earth, amen, that he was acquainted with, that he was going to have this son. And when the son came, he was asked to double back and destroy the only hope that he had for his testimony to be fulfilled. And when God seen that he was loyal to that faith, because he wasn't himself. Abraham wasn't on a repetition. Abraham wasn't whether how man seem or esteem him. Amen. So if God bless him with something and make his name great and God's going to destroy it, and man going to laugh at him afterwards, and man going to say all kind of different things about him afterwards, it don't bother his faith. It don't hinder his faith. His faith say, God, you say so? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now watch. And when God seen that he was loyal to that faith that he had in God, God looked out of the heavens and he said, I've sworn by myself, I'll bless you and multiply you, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. What a promise. That's the way it's brought to all the seed of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 6 quickly here. I'll even know that. Page 7. Amen. He just stand alone, walk out there and say, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. That is the Abraham. That's the one who gives the promise. No matter what the rest of them says or what the rest of them do, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So here he says, now then, if he let Abraham be tested to that final point, he's got to test you and me to that final moment. The time of decision when everything's taken away from you. You've got to stand alone there. Amen. So notice, he's been testing him all along. Time and after time, he's been testing him. But then the final testing had to come. So quickly. Now, there was a place. A place that God was going to bring him for the final testing. But that place, though it seems so cruel, to the natural mind, though it seemed that God was making such a great demand, yet it was in the very same thing that God is going to glorify his name, that God is going to confirm his faith, that God is going to vindicate his servant, that God is going to crown his ministry. Amen. So the things that is happening and shall happen in this hour for the believer is nothing going wrong. Hallelujah. The devil might want to come and make you feel something is going wrong. A devil might want to make you think that God is going to embarrass you. You're scared to speak. You're scared to act. You're afraid of failure. God is sending these things to vindicate you. Amen. God is sending these things to display his glory and his power to you for such a time as this. Amen. Unto this end were you born. What shall we say? Father, save us from this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Fulfill the work of faith with power. Amen. So the place that God was going to reveal himself as Jehovah Jireh, where the thing that we are looking for will come by the creative power of God, it will come by divine intervention. What we're looking for to take us out of here will have to come by divine intervention. You're praying, my praying, you're singing, my singing, you're praising, my... All that is good to go into it, but that wouldn't bring it. Amen. It will take God himself, his sovereign grace. When love project to show your love for God, sovereign grace will come down and take over and produce the object that your love is believing God for. And sovereign grace is on the scene. Amen. He has descended from heaven to take over where love obeyed his word in every age. Hallelujah! To bring to pass his promise. Amen. All Abraham experiences were in perfect continuity. Amen. From his calling, from the time of his testing, he knew the program of God was not yet completed. Amen. That God had already revealed to him the channel. Now we're going to develop something here. Now watch. The promise God made to Abraham when he called him was, get thee out of thy country and out of thy kindred and into a land that I will show thee. Amen. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the family of the earth be blessed. Now, Abraham wasn't thinking about a great name. Abraham said, Abraham was happy. Oh, praise God, I'm going to have a great name. Oh, Abraham wasn't looking for God to curse his enemies. Though God said all those things about him. The part of the promise that Abraham's faith grasped and looked forward to and cried out. Because if you take up where God started with Abraham in Genesis 12, we will find down to Genesis 22, where God confirms Abraham's faith, the only promise God Abraham was asking God continually about was his son. Not the great name, not the curse of enemies. Amen. Because the supernatural thing was how I, who am 75 years, Sarah is 65, barren since we know one another, can't have no children, impossible. Go to all kind of doctors and not just have a child, but make a great nation. Now, as we follow the mystery of the promise, here's where I want the latest inspiration right here. We're going to close it out just now. The promise God revealed to Abraham was, I will make you a great nation. That struck his heart. And he held up and he came out. God, if you say so. Amen. And he began to walk. It took separation from his country and from his family, but he was willing to do it. Amen. Because down in his heart had a deep for that. Amen. So Genesis 12 is a type of justification. Luther going out of Babylon, the believer coming out of the world and walking by faith. God called us out of organizations and the world. All of us had our Genesis 12. You believe in the message? You was in Genesis 12. Get thee out of that country, out of that kindred, and come into a land that I will show thee. Amen. Amen. And the call was connected to a promise. He wasn't just called. The call was accompanied by a promise. God didn't just call us and say, come and serve me and lead the denomination. I'll make you a super church. I'll make you a super race. I'll glorify my name in you. You will do the greater works. A promise accompanied the call. Genesis 15, under sanctification, God told Abraham. Here he was sitting on his tent one day. And he walked a few years and no sign of the promise. And maybe that day he get up not feeling too well. The heart might be beating a little faster. Might feel a little stiff in the joint, arthritis or rheumatism, something might be setting in. And he looked at Eliezer and he began to think, you mean to say I'll go childless and this Eliezer will be the heir of my house? And Abraham began to ask the Lord. And the Bible said the word of the Lord came unto him and said, Eliezer will not be your heir. Come and take a walk with me tonight. So Abraham and God began to walk. He said, Lord, where are you going? He said, down by the beach. So they walked down by the beach, by the seaside. And as you look at the sand on the seashore, God said, check it, count it. He said, Lord, I can't count that. He said, look up in the sky. He said, count that. He said, Lord, I can't count that. He said, well, so your seed going to be. He said, don't let your faith waver. Don't have no doubt in my promise. I remember my promise. A few years past, you think I forget the third pole will do the greater works than the spoken word and all the things. You think I forget that? Amen. He said, I can tell you the page, the book that they printed on. I can tell you every place in the tape library. I can tell you at what time in the message I inspired the prophet to say it. You think God forget them promises? And right, Abraham was inquiring of the promise. God was telling him, no, I'll bring the past my promise. You don't fear. Now watch where faith in the promise is going to come, because the final testing is not your job. It's not your house. It's not the possessions. It's not your family. The final testing is on the promise. The promise of God for this age as a believer. God tests you all along with your family, with your church, with your friends, with your business associates, all these things coming along. But the final test is on the promise that God promised you as a believer. And that's why many people who don't know the promise is confused. They think they're being punished because they have not followed the experiences and they cannot discern at what time and what junction God is bringing this test upon them. But look at, let's see the source that Abraham's faith found. Why he could speak with that kind of faith and revelation. Now, Genesis 15. God said, all right, I'll confirm the covenant to you. Slay a three-year-old ram, three-year-old heifer, two turtle doves, three-year-old goat. See? A heifer and the she-goats was female. But the ram was a male. And he had to slay the she-goats and the heifer first and slay the ram last. The prophet says the she-goat represents the organization and the ram represents the word Christ, showing the world is going to come at the end. Amen. Now watch. Then afterwards, here's Abraham now in under the process of sanctification. And the believer come out justified, believing God, then go being sanctified now in Genesis 15. And they long to see God's life and God's promise produce. But the old husband ain't dead yet. They only go through sanctification. They ain't really born again yet. See, they're still in the book of life. Though they're hearing the promise that they are called unto, in the Lamb's Book of Life to be manifested at a later time. Now catch what I'm saying. God called Abraham, come out of Ur the Chaldees. I'll give you a land. I'll make your name great. You'll have a great nation. That was the promise. But that promise was made to Abraham. That promise cannot come to pass until he become Abraham. Until God give him part of his own name. But Abraham is here in the promise. Abraham is justified. Abraham is sanctified. But Abraham hasn't yet become Abraham. And a person come out of the world believing God. Coming along walking in the revealed word. Coming along knowing God, make the promise to them. But then the book of life, they're in the section under the first birth. Still. Because when they are born again, then they get a new name. Then they find the mystery of the real name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then they begin to live under the inspiration of that name. Then they're going to nurse strength from El Shaddai to produce the promise. Then they will stop the fretting. They'll be satisfied. They'll have the inner satisfaction. They will have inner rest. The soul will be anchored. But Abraham, he's trying to understand the promise. Amen. So here we were in Genesis 15, many of us, before we were born again, before we find out the soul in us was part of the word for this age, that had the female part of the mystery for us to live out. Before we saw that by and through the members of the bride, we had to finish the work. So as the prophet says, we are hearing the message intellectually. So that's how we heard it. But it was right. The message was right. But the way we were hearing it couldn't bring a birth. Amen. And this promise was a mystery. But for us to get there, we had to cross over from the book of life, from your first birth to your second birth. Now don't let terminology confuse you. I'm just saying book of life and Lamb's Book of Life because I want to keep under your natural identity. Your first birth and your second birth. And your second birth, when you're born again, that is then you recognize you are part of Christ. Then you get part of Christ's name. You see, I've fallen up in the two messages I preached before. The name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name. You are part of that name. Last time we talked about glorify that name. Because you are part of him. See, so Abraham received part of God's name. That is when God was in Abraham now. God life in Abraham now. And it's God in us will produce the promise. Not what our mother and father come together and produce. That ain't producing one thing. It is the God in you, the Christ in you will produce the promise. And the Christ in you is the word for this age. And though we were called out to the world and God called us by the message, yet the Christ in us didn't begin to live until we were born again. We come along trying to be a good Christian. We come along trying to do and don't. Do and don't. Do and don't. But every time quickening Paul struck that seed, transforming Paul began to produce the promise. Amen. Then, here we was now, Genesis 17. God come to Abraham. I am the Almighty God. And he said, I'm changing the name now from Abraham to Abraham. And when God did that, he told him, he said, the next time, next year, this time, Sarah is going to bring forth a son. Because you know before what happened? Before Abraham was born again, Sarah told him, go with Hagar. Maybe that is the way God is going to bring to pass the promise. You see? And she tried to manufacture something outside of God's creative will. She tried to reason out a conception of how the promise is to be interpreted. You see? And then they produce a perverted promise. Though it was Abraham's seed, it was in the wrong channel. Because Hagar was not the channel, Sarah is the channel. Amen. See, Hagar is here and Sarah is right here. both in the same house. Amen. Once they come here, a perverted promise. God has to cast that out. Cast down reason and conscience and memory and affair. Cast that down. Pull down them strongholds. That will not be the promise. Amen. Hallelujah. But when it drops in their heart, amen, when it finds a fertile egg in there, watch the promise come forth. So here it was, God changes name now, and he says, that is the promise. Ishmael, put that away. And Abraham was tested again. He had to separate from mother and father first. Then he had to come and separate now from Lot. He had loved him. As he brought him along. Then God said, you can't go along with him and get the promise. See? Then the time came when God said, put away Ishmael too. And he had to put away Ishmael. It was kind of hard. See? Because Ishmael was a perverted promise. Hagar was an Egyptian. And Hagar's egg had Egyptian traits. Though it was Abraham's seed, yet in that product had a lot of denominationalism. Because Hagar was an Egyptian. But Abraham said they claimed the new message but didn't doubt the old system. Amen. So then the spirit of man, see, inside of the air. So then after God said, throw that out, that can't be the promise neither. You see, but the real promise is going to come to pass. He said, but I bring it for the heart to change the name. And God changed his name to Abraham. And God brought him into the place now. Because the covenant that God made with us, he made it with Jesus Christ. But that soul in us, that eternal life, was part of Christ. Amen. And until we are born again, the covenant could not come in effect. Though by predestination, we were part of Christ. Though by we were predestinated and called. Yet we could not produce the promise until we were born again. Because the covenant was made in Christ and we had to prove we were part of Christ by the new birth before any promise could come to pass. Amen. So when God changed his name now, quickly, when God changed his name now to Abraham, God gave him part of his name. So here was Abraham now seeing the channel of how I will make you a great nation. How that promise is coming to pass. That is the promise he was meditating upon. God said, I will bring it to pass. He thought it was Ishmael. It was not Ishmael. God said, Sarah will have a son. Call his name Isaac. And when Isaac was born, here was evidence that God had begun to bring to pass his promise in a process. The whole nation didn't come yet, but the channel to which the promise is going to come was already revealed.
Glory.
I wonder if we could see that God, who promises a super church, the spoken word, all these things, the greater works, and we could see the channel that is going to come through is already revealed. And inspiration is already coming through that channel and bringing a faith. And when he read that, God said, when Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Genesis 18, God come to Abraham now to confirm the mystery of the new name to Abraham and show him that it was going to, because you see, Abraham meant father of nations. Abraham means great father, but God said, I will make you a great nation. So for him to be a great nation, he had to be a father of nations. But his name was not father of nations. So God had to change his name so he could manifest the life of that name. Canadian and Trinidadian and African and all these different things. And German and all these things cannot produce the third pole. Is God going to produce it? Jesus Christ, the Word, going to produce it. And our first birth, that is that natural identity. But then that new birth, Christ, when we take his name, then every promise is in Jesus Christ, every redemptive blessing, and it will be produced. And when God revealed to Abraham the channel, then before Isaac had any children, before the promise unfold further, before he even had a wife, God brought the test. And when God brought the test, Abraham realized God already began to interpret his promise. He already revealed the channel. He cannot abandon his program. Because before he told me about a great nation, here he was. He showed me the stars in the sky. Then he came, he changed my name. Then he changed my body. Changed my makeup. He revealed to me the channel the promise is going to come true. He said, Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac is born. So the promise is coming to pass. In a process yet not completely fulfilled. And before it is completely fulfilled, the test comes. If it can be killed, you have to raise up to fulfill that promise. Now, if Isaac had a son, and then God told him to kill Isaac, it wouldn't be no real test, you know, amen, on the promise, you know. Because Isaac's son would have gone and bring for the nation. But before Isaac had any children, the test came. So we close out here now. Let's bring that climax. Now here we have this great promise of a super church, a super race, spoken word ministry, greater works. And it started to unfold when God changed our names. And God changed our names when we got the new birth. And we got part of his name. And we saw we were part of the word. Amen. And then we begin to live under the inspiration of that prophecy, like Abraham began to live under the inspiration of his new name. And his new name was Father of Nations. How could he produce a nation when he was living under the inspiration of an old name? You understand what I'm saying? So when he saw the prophecy begin to unfold, then we come to the place now we see we have crossed back the chasm. We see the new birth means sin can't be imputed unto us. We see it means we are under the blood. We see it means that every redemptive blessing belongs to us. We see it means the abstract title deed show we are the legal owners of every promise. We see that we are being formed back in the word image. And we know that this is the channel to bring to pass God's promise. There is no way the promise can come to pass outside somebody is born again. Outside somebody grows up and is formed back in the image of the word. There's no way the promise can come to pass. So when we saw those things, here it is just before the promise is completely fulfilled, God brings the test. Amen. It looks so crucial, but then, because we've been following the mystery of that promise unfolding, how the word began to come by inspiration, how the years when God called us and we walk with him, how the years when God revealed to us what part of the world we are, how the years when we begin to live under the inspiration of that word, how we begin to come to a greater faith, how God begin to test us and begin to see a life in us greater than the former life we had. Then God begin to identify that is Christ's life. Then we're on the verge now of the spoken word. And God brings the test. And when the test comes, then the first thing comes to your mind, I wonder if God punishes me. I wonder if God forgets what he's doing. No. God has not forgotten. Amen. Is God testing you to see your reaction? And if you know, and Abraham knew, that if that boy is dead, then God is a liar. Because no nation didn't come out of Isaac. Then God told something wrong to begin with. But he knew it was impossible for God to lie. He knew that God had already begun the work already, and he couldn't cut it short, because he does not change his mind about his word. Now you fall into the same place. And in that time of testing, Abraham knew, I'm only being tested. Looking wrong. It looking like I'm going to end up being a failure. It looking like my biggest hopes going to turn to disappointment. It looked like maybe I had the revelation all figured out wrong. Like it's not coming to pass again. It looks like maybe I'm not bright after all. It's only a test to see a reaction. And while he's going up the mountain, the boy said, Daddy, where is the lamb? And I can imagine, Abraham realized he had to let the boy know now. He said, Isaac, sit down a while, son. He said, remember the other day when we were discussing my age? I told you I was 125 years. He said, Daddy, but you don't even look like 45. But he was changed back to a young man going up the hill, you know. Yeah. Abraham was not, no. You see those pictures, Abraham has a long beard and old. That is not so because we know you're changed back young. Right. He said, I told you it was 125 years. And I told you the day when God called me out, son. And you wasn't even around yet. Your mother was 65 years as an old man. And I come through all these years. And that night when I sat down there, I thought I was going to get a heart attack. And I thought that maybe I misunderstood God's promise. And then God spoke to me in a vision and told me, Eliezer will not be no heir. And God took me down by the sea. And I had that experience recorded in my diary. And how often I pondered it, because after a while when the inspiration left me, I wondered if I dreamed that. I wondered that it was my own impression. But later on, to only to find out that God came back, when your mother influenced me to go with Hagar, and you had a stepbrother by the name of Ishmael, and then God made me even put away that, and I loved that boy, because I was longing for a son, and that's the first one I had. You see, but then God, then afterwards, I didn't understand what was going on, and God showed me that was not in the promise. And then God changed my name. He said, then that day when I sat down there in the tent and I was thinking about the new name and how my name is changed, and I saw three men come walking. He said, remember I tell you that, I tell you about that experience already? He said, well, I never tell you this part. Listen carefully. He said, when those three men came walking up that day, I said, Lord. And when I said, Lord, I checked myself. I said, why I say that? It came out unconsciously. I didn't plan to say it. And I was kind of wondering if I'd said the right thing. He said, but you know something? That man turned around and called me Abraham and asked me, where's my wife Sarah? And then I realized that it was by inspiration. I said, Lord. Amen. He said, then I watched all those experiences, boy. And then the very time when he told me, in the set time the next year, it was April and spring, when the lambs are born. See, he said, boy, he wasn't born in December. He was born in April. Amen. And he said that April, when he was born, Isaac, he said, we had a great feast for you. And I come along and I get so attached to you. And last night, you know what happened, boy? God told me to go and kill you. He said, I tried not to tell you. I thought you might be able to take it. And by that time, the tears may run down the boy's eyes. Now, you always wonder how Isaac could go and lay down his life like that in obedience. Let's see why tonight. And while he was there, Abraham began to preach his revelation, his faith into Isaac's heart. And Isaac began to grasp what his father was saying. He saw his father wasn't making up some jumble of business, but he saw the continuity. He saw the perfection of the revelation. He saw the line upon line. He saw from the time God called him out in Genesis 12, down to that time, how perfect it was. He saw all the experiences of scriptural. And then he began to say, he said, Isaac, do you believe? He said, Daddy, with all my heart. He said, Isaac, let me tell you something. He said, the reason I'm stepping out here to kill you is not because I don't like you, boy. He said, the reason I'm doing it is because my faith in God, because God told me. He said, and if that is wrong, then every experience I had before is wrong. You know how prophecies talk? Amen. Amen. He said, because the same God who told me, Isaac shall I see be called, is the same one who called me out. Is the same one who told me the set time you were born. Is the same one who changed my name. Is the same one who bring forth you. Amen. And I could see Isaac. He said, son, you're going to raise back up. It's impossible for you to sit on that grave. It's impossible that it's even though you die, you'll be raised back up. Because God cannot change his mind about his word. And I could see maybe Isaac watching his father's face. And he said, Father, if it's possible, I wouldn't like to go through this. But nevertheless, not my will, but let thy will be done. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I could see where he went up on the mountain. And Isaac was in front now. Yeah. Amen. And Abraham says, son, I have to build an altar. Isaac said, Daddy, let me help you pick up the stones. And I could see Isaac running from ticket to ticket all along the mountain, gathering 12 stones. Maybe on the number of 15. Abraham said, wait, son, it has to be 12. Yeah. He said, inspiration telling me today it can't be, it has to be 12 stones. Amen. He take the wood and he laid as a cross, maybe, upon the altar. And then Isaac, realizing the next stage now, he walked right up to him. He said, Daddy, you want me to lie down on my belly? You want me to lie down on my back? You want me to lie down sideways? How you want to tie me? What it was, the Father had begun to reveal him, just like with Jesus. When the Father began to reveal to Jesus that he will die but will raise again, he said, what shall I say? Save him from this hour? He said, for this cause come out this hour. He said, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done.
Amen.
And just the Father revealing to the Son, Jesus Christ, what he had to go through, the same way Abraham was revealing to Isaac, you have to rise again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Isaac believed it. And Isaac went and laid down his life there. And as Abraham took the knife, I could hear Isaac say, he said, Daddy, he said, when you're piercing me, he said, make sure it's right through the heart, and I die instantly. He said, otherwise, because I don't want my feet to be broken. No bone must be broken. Amen. Amen. And then, to see after that, here was Isaac with faith, just like Jesus, to lay down his life. Because the Father was revealing to him, he have to be raised back up. And he went and laid down his life. As Abraham go to slay him, God came on the scene. And when God came on the scene, he said, fear not, Abraham. Don't slay the boy. Touch him not. Amen. And Abraham heard a ram bleating the ticket. And then Abraham looked at the ticket. He said, well, wait a minute. I just took out 3 stones out of that same ticket. And when I was taking out those stones a couple of minutes ago, it had no ram in the air. And the devil told him, he said, the mountain is full of rams. Amen. And Abraham waited about 2 hours and not another ram appeared. Amen. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Amen. Hallelujah. And then you know what happened? He called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. I want you to see tonight the channel that to meet Jehovah Jireh, look what he had to go through. Amen. Through that experience, God was showing all Abraham's seed that God could never go contrary to his promise.
Amen.
Amen. He will always keep his promise, but he will test us. To see our reaction, to see our faith in his promise. And here tonight, we have come down to our final testing before the promise. There is going to be a spoken word ministry. Jehovah Jireh will come in the scene. But it cannot happen until we go through our final testing.
Right.
And that 7th mountain, the highest one, the 3rd pole, is where we are now. And it's where we are going to meet Jehovah Jireh. The same God, what is it temporarily? You will see it just now manifest in the fullness of his power. But then you must be willing to separate your Isaac. It was easy to separate from the country. It was easy to separate from Lot. It was easy to separate from Ishmael. But Isaac, the thing that you love the most, you must be willing even that to separate it from God. To give it unto God when God makes his demand. To show you are fully surrendered. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Abraham wasn't thinking about a great name. He wasn't thinking about his enemies being cursed. What was God doing? God was giving Abraham the test before the promise was complete. And it was God's way of seeing if Abraham was understanding his experiences. I wonder if we have been understanding our experiences. Will you have walked the same way Abraham have walked? From Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. The strength that he had nursed from the El Shaddai is what enabled him to go up on the mountain. What he had nursed from his new name, what he had lived under the inspiration of that prophecy, is what enabled him to sacrifice his Isaac. It would be impossible tonight to do that, such a thing, if your name have not been changed yet. Because that first nature will always clutch to the things that have an influence upon your life. The things that appeal to the flesh. The things that entice and enchant the spirit. But if that nature is changed, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. We're looking for a ministry, the third pole. But this will show if we are ready. When we are being tested to the final point. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, let's sing, Jesus be the Lord of all. Let's have a little consecration tonight. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Today is the Passover. Today the token must be on display. Take a life to save a life. Amen. To show that we are willing to give our all. Jesus be the Lord. Jesus be the Lord. Jesus be the Lord. The kingdom. Let's lift our hands and surrender. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender. Oh, from our hearts now. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender. The kingdom's all my heart. Oh, one more time. Jesus, I surrender. Yes, they're always here for the third pole to meet Jehovah Jireh. Surrender, Jesus, I surrender. The kingdom's of my heart. Every head bow, every eye close. And the message speak to this mountain. Brother Abraham said, this is the hour of divine consecration. If you can believe, the Lord requires a consecration. He cannot break forth upon us until we have been so surrendered to his will, to his power. He cannot break forth until we have our hearts so cleansed from sin and things of the world, until the Holy Ghost can ride in upon us and surround us now as he has me right now. How do I know these things? Not me, it's him that's speaking. I've told the truth about him. There's breaking forth something new. Watch and see, it's already happening. It will break forth just as certainly I'm standing in this platform. He says, I believe the church of the living God is moving into a sphere now that is going to shake the whole world. That's the first time since it's been in the days of Jesus of Nazareth to a human being. Ask what you will and it shall be given. Anything you desire. Do you see the words of Jesus Christ being fulfilled? Oh, it's going to come to pass pretty soon. I'm looking for it to happen in this meeting. I'm wanting it to happen now. That the anointing will strike the whole church of the living God. And she'll rise to her feet like a mighty marching army. The sick will be healed by our word. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The dead will be raised up. And the power of God will shake the world with the church of the living God. We are in the process of it now. I believe it soon coming to pass. I believe it will be exactly just that way. I believe it's going to strike the church of God soon. It's going to start a revival that will shake the world. I believe it. The Lord of heaven, who made heavens and earth, whose servant I am and stand here now before you, in the name of Jesus Christ, those words are true. Think about it. We are in the process of it. God testing us. Why is all these things happening? God testing us. What is it for? To see our reaction. How we thank him tonight, we understand. He's not punishing us. He's just showing the world. Here's a people who is willing to go to any extent, regardless of the demands that God make upon their life. So yoked to Christ, living in a world of perfect faith, believing the things that they say. Our Heavenly Father, as we stand in your divine presence, oh God and Monk Moriah, here we are, Lord. Dear Abraham built an altar. Dear he laid the wood in order. Dear he bunged his Isaac. Dear he laid him upon the altar. Dear he took the knife and stretched it for the slave. Dear you confirm his faith. Dear you vindicated him and crowned his ministry. Dear the spoken word is manifested. Heavenly Father, we see it repeating again. Oh God, already in process. We thank you for the faith. We thank you for the channel of inspiration. We thank you for the believing hearts here tonight. And I trust, dear God, that these words, Father, would so serve to inspire your faith. The people, Lord God, we have kept them long tonight. Oh God, but just, it's, you know, we had to say these things, Father, to bring it to a place like this, Lord. Oh God, to see if we are ready. The final testimony for the promise, where we can stand and prove that we are worthy of this promise that you have made, where you have given us part of your name, Father. Lord God, all these years, living under the inspiration of that name, and now coming to a place where you will glorify that name inside of us. Almighty God, I pray tonight, Father, oh God, that the Holy Spirit will just strike the hearts with these things right, Lord. It will not lose its effect upon the people. But, oh God, they will take this word. And, Lord God, they will apply it in their lives. And, oh God, it will give them supernatural strength. Oh God, to stand victorious and face the challenge of this hour. Oh God, where you would display through them, Father, a real Christian, a real servant of God, a real believer, where the world will see the faith of God moving in the people, Father. They will see the characteristic of the promise being identified in the people. Lord God, I pray tonight that every heart here that is challenged by these words tonight, oh God, those who have separated from the country, from the families, those who have put away the lot, the things of the flesh, oh God, the worldly things, Lord, those who have come along and put away the Ishmael, all the rebellious spirit, Lord, all the things of this human spirit, Father, oh God, now, you've taken us deeper than that, Father. You've come. You're making a demand. The thing that we love, Lord. Things that you yourself have blessed us with. To see if we are willing. Father, may we take inventory tonight. May we search our lives deeply. Oh, God. Even the unconscious things, may you make it conscious within us, Lord. For, Father, we know from your word and by your word that, Lord, many times there are things in our lives that we don't even see. Many times we look at our moral condition and we say we are not sinners, but Lord, still is unbelief in the promise. Oh God, may we search our hearts and see how we stand in the time of testing. See if our faith is speaking with expectation, positive, Father, with assurance that you cannot fail, but you will bring to pass what you have spoken, for it is impossible for you to lie. Almighty God, looking back at Abraham, and see how he spoke, Father. Even when the test became more severe, he was still under the inspiration, expressing that great faith that revelation in his life that he followed so closely. Oh God, we think of Isaac, Father, the obedience unto death, the submission, Lord. Oh God, when that faith was preached in his heart, he laid down his life voluntarily, Lord, believing he would raise back up because he believed the word that was spoken unto him. I pray, dear God, tonight that these things would be so real in our hearts, it would grip us, Lord. It would chain us. Lord, we'd be a slave to that word. Oh, Father, may the word of God govern our lives tonight, that we can leave this place, oh God, becoming living epistles. Father, we ask for a consecration tonight, Lord. A rededication tonight, dear God. Oh, God, the hour is here upon us. You will display yourself to a people you have called and chosen. You showed your election in Abraham, Father, when you went down and you called him out by his name. Hallelujah. Lord, the same way you have called us, you have showed forth your election, coming and calling us in this age. I pray, dear God, tonight, that these things will never leave us, Lord. But, oh God, we'd consecrate our lives tonight afresh for your service, Lord. We'd stand faithful in this time of testing, knowing without a shadow of a doubt, this is the hour when you will fulfill the work of faith and power. Bless each and every one, Father, and have your way amongst us. Bring us back tomorrow, Lord. Remember us in a special way as we gather again, Lord. The Lord, you lift us even higher. And, oh God, you do the exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask. Oh God, let the dove lead the eagles. We ask you tonight in your precious name. Amen and amen. May God bless you as we turn the service back to Brother Ed.
Just prayerfully. Jesus, the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord. And then the next verse, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I close in just a moment and let you go home with these things to ponder. We often refer to the message. It's a word that we as believers have become very familiar with, very acquainted with. But I think what this message tonight meant for me, and I am very thankful for our Brother Vin for bringing it, but the message which we've received is a vision. It's a vision. It was a prophetic message. It's a vision. And it's just coming clearer and clearer and clearer to me. We have to see ourselves in that vision. We have to be able to identify ourselves. It's not just a bunch of quotes or a lot of books or a lot of tapes. It's a vision of a bride. And when he spoke it, she wasn't even in existence. It was a vision. And we see ourselves in the vision. And by seeing ourselves, it brings an eruption within. I'm there, I'm identified there, and this thing is happening. And I'm just making one reference to something Brother Vin said. He said, speaking about that in this chapter, God met Abraham, and then from there on it faded out, but that was the last time. And in a service like this, I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. I can speak for myself. My personal testimony is I heard God, Almighty God, speak to me tonight. I did not hear a man. I heard God speak to me. And I'm not saying it because Brother Vin is here. It makes no difference to me at all. He's doing something that I deeply love, have sought to do myself in my own ministry. And that is to take the message and make the scripture alive. That's our absolute. And that's why God spoke to me, because this is God's words. And I heard God's voice tonight. And when he spoke, I saw myself. And so because of that, when God spoke the last time to Abraham, how do I know? This may be the last time he meets with us this way till we see the completion of the whole thing. It's going to be a time like this. This is how God is speaking to the bride. See, we're not living in desert wilderness tents raising cattle like Abraham was. That was his promise, and he lived that life. But this is our life, and this message is our promise. It's told us about how it's going to be. And the prophet spoke it almost 20 years ago, and we're seeing it. That's the way it is. Amen. And here we are drawn into it. What does it mean to you? Don't make the mistake of taking this precious word and relating it to some little things in your lives. It's not that. It's a promise of eternal life. It's a promise of change. It's a promise of immortality. Relating it to some little things in your lives. It's not that. It's a promise of eternal life. It's a promise of change. It's a promise of immortality. That's the promise. Who cares about these little things? Let it all pass away. Oh.
Hallelujah.
I want to sing that once more. We've never sung it like this. Word of God, be Lord of all. Word of God, be Lord of all. And then we're going to dismiss. I know you enjoyed it. I know you did. You can get the tape and hear it again. I want you to be able to say, Lord Jesus, let me see myself as part of this vision. When you do, you know it's happening. Hallelujah. Word of God, be Lord of all. Word of God, be Lord of all. Word of God, be Lord of all. The kingdom's all my heart. Lord Jesus, we want you to be Lord of all. Take every part of our lives, every part of our being. Take our minds, oh God. I have felt tonight there is such a need for us to turn our whole minds and thoughts into your sovereign control. Dominate us, Lord. Possess us. Lord, we are not our own. Take us, O Lord, as a body of people. We offer ourselves. We give ourselves. We surrender ourselves the only way we know how. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can contribute. We simply give ourselves that the promise of God, your promise, might be fulfilled in us and through us in this time. Lord, we be ready for whatever you have in store.
Hallelujah.
Lord, whether it be the most prized, most precious thing which we have, we are laying it, oh God, and we know that final test is the test of the promise.
Hallelujah.
My Lord, we declare your promises are yea and amen.
Hallelujah.
Everyone that believeth, we stand here tonight as a group of believers, Lord. I speak not only for myself, but for each person that has come here. That's why they've come, and they've listened attentively to the word, have loved it, have been stimulated by it.
We truly have had the oil and the wine.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray that the people will be sent from the building tonight refreshed.
Hallelujah.
Rejoicing.
Oh,
God.
Hallelujah.
And as we return, if there is a tomorrow, may we return walking in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
May we return filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word. Lord, I pray your blessing upon the people. Your blessing, Lord, upon everyone. Hallelujah. I thank you for this message tonight, Lord. I thank you for Brother Vin and, oh God, the days and weeks, months, the times, Lord, that he is spent in the vessel, oh God. It doesn't happen overnight. I know that. I just thank you for him, and I pray you'll bless his assembly at home. Watch over the flock. Satan would like nothing more than to cause him a distress. And I pray that you'll just overshadow it, oh God. We're claiming it in the name of Jesus. The very least we can do is pray for the assembly and those who are in charge. Now, Lord, send us with your grace upon us, each one. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, we're dismissing you now in the name of Jesus Christ, that you may go home and get rest. There will be no Sunday school tomorrow morning. And so you that have children, remember you don't have to be here that early, 9:45. Be here. Be just alert and ready for the Word of God. Another meeting, worship. Amen. God bless you, each one. You're all dismissed.